Thanks for downloading a new episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. We are your hosts, Nate and Greg, and we are coming to you on a series of ones and zeros from the studio at Vault 405 in Edmond. This week, we are putting the man with the hottest pants in the biz in the hot seat, Chef Bruce Reinhardt of Rococo. But first, a word from our sponsor. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
I have a sneaking suspicion today is going to tell us how to use some things we get from the MIO Coalition.
We very well might.
Yeah. Our next issue will, for sure.
Yes.
Food issue.
The food issue. Guys, you've got to
pick it up.
OklahomaToday.com/subscribe. Get yourself a subscription. It is so much cheaper if you get a subscription than getting off the newsstands.
No, we love it if you buy it off the newsstands. But
yes,
we're looking out for you here.
I'm excited for every single issue that comes out.
Yeah,
like
me too.
There's never a time that I'm like, oh, I don't care if people read this one. I want everyone to read every single one of these. And so if you're
now when we get to the end. Like we just did.
Yeah.
As we're recording this, we're 2 days or a day out from uploading our food issue to the printer. And right now, I don't care if I never see it again, but I am so excited for you guys to see it.
There's so much really cool stuff. Yeah. And that's one reason that we've got Bruce on today is...
He's in the issue.
He is in the issue.
Prominently.
You're definitely going to want to pick up the food issue. If you enjoy ingesting nutrients in any fashion, you're really going to enjoy this issue. If you enjoy continuing to live.
Yeah. If you're fed up with your New Year's resolutions,
you just
add it up to here with them, which to me always happens the second the Girl Scouts start coming around.
Oh, I know.
I'm like, okay, well, never mind this being my year because this is the year of the Samoa.
It's again. Always.
Yeah. Only it's been that way my entire adult life. So at some point it's going to have to pass. But yeah, it's going to be a good one. We've got some cool stuff. We've got our usual food worth the drive, 27 restaurants this time. All over in every corner of the state, and they're just restaurants that we think are awesome. And I love this story too because you know everyone knows the Eichenses and the Mearses and the you know the road trip the like legendary road trip restaurants, right?
Yeah.
But for my money, there's one of those in almost every town.
Well, okay,
and that's the truth. I mean, we don't just go to Yelp reviews and find the highest rated places. We go and we eat and we talk to the people. We visit every single one of these restaurants in December when we're already eating way too much. Okay. My doctor's mad at me because of this. No, that's not true. He's not mad at me. But hey, Jeff. I don't know. We actually go and we experience it and we actually have a rule that if we put something on the list, we go to it and visit it, say we're paying a freelancer some money to go write about it, we tell them, if you come back and you say, and this has happened, if you come back and you say, yeah, don't include this one, it's not very good, we still pay them as if they'd written the story because that's valuable information too.
Yeah.
And they traveled and they drove and they did all the work. It just didn't get published. So
we
go ahead.
But we're not going to send you guys to some place that's terrible. So when we say food worth the drive, we literally mean this. These are all places it's worth getting in the car and going to.
And that's if you get in the car, you go there, you eat, and you turn around and you come back and that's all you do, that's a worthwhile way to spend a day. Like that's a great trip and you're going to come back just so happy.
And there's so many. It really, every corner of the state is touched. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well,
let's talk to Bruce.
Let's get Bruce in
here.
Well, we have got chef, owner, dilettante,
visionary,
the man with the hottest pants in the biz, Bruce Reinhardt, is in here today. Bruce from Rococo and Rococo North Park and the Manhattan. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We were talking about, we've got our food issue coming up next, and you are very prominently placed in it. We did Angela Botzer wrote a really great story called about chef's tables. And I was hoping to hear from you a little bit about kind of what goes into putting together a chef's table.
Awesome. Well, the chef table at North Park... truly is a chef table. I mean, it's in the kitchen, it's in the fry section, it's part gangster booth, part seating, there's wrought iron and draperies, and it's meant to be fun. It's definitely unpretentious. And you know, depending on the seasons and the group, we'll tailor the menu around them. But we've kind of elevated it over the last few years, especially this past year, in where we'll sit down with the guests prior, walk them through what we're thinking, maybe even making some adjustments right on the fly. You know, typically 6 or 8 courses. And it's meant to be fun. So we just have a blast with it. And some of the guest experiences and memories we've created, we have people that just come back and come back and come back.
Oh, that's great.
I was going to say, chef's tables, and this is addressed a little bit in Angela's story, the history of them, it really kind of starts off a little bit more pretentious, I think. And so what it's great to hear that you are sort of trying to unstuffy them a little bit.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have some dear friends that they travel to dine. That's what they don't go to amusement parks. They're not doing, they travel to dine. And, you know, from the French Laundry to, you know, Boulay or whatever it may be where they've done chef's tables, they adore ours because of the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, food is love. Food should be shared. For me, at this point in my life, especially, dining shouldn't be like going to church.
Right.
Although
sometimes it is.
Indeed. And I've heard.
Spiritually speaking.
Well, I've heard some, you know, some fabulous stories, some interesting stories about some chef tables, you know, in Chicago and New York and other, where I'm just thrilled that we're doing what we're doing. Hmm. So it comes from the heart. It's pure. Of course, it's all about the food, but it's all about the relationship surrounding the food,
sure,
both in creating it and enjoying it.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the cool things. And for our listeners who don't necessarily know what this is, a chef's table is basically, everyone does it differently, but in your case, you're basically sitting at a booth in, more or less in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
With you, talking to you or whoever the chef is as they're making the meal. There's a lot of, this is what this is, this is where I got it from, here's the wine pairing. It's a lot. It's a much more kind of up-close personal experience of food, of restaurant food, than we're normally accustomed to getting.
Without question. Yeah. And, you know, again, it's in the fry station. You know, if it's a busy night, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, and they get to experience that. can I share a little story with
you? Please, go for it, yeah.
All right, so this is going to go back 10 years. All right, so when we opened North Park, my God, 10 years ago now.
I know.
Wow.
We did this thing called Friends and Family. And I will never open a restaurant again doing it the way we did it. It was beyond anything. So we had a group come in, no seating for them, some few friends. They went on and on how much they wanted to experience Rococo North Park that night. So I said, you want to be the first ever at my chef's table. Now, meanwhile, this place is literally almost on fire. Chaos everywhere. It was 300 people in the restaurant. So we led this parade of them. There were 10 of them to the chef's table. All right, so they're beside themselves. They're like, oh, my God. And there's yelling and there's screaming and there's things being thrown. So I had some other friends that were out there and some things that happened to them. And I said, look, I'm going to go back in the midst of all this chaos and make your dinner personally. So in the midst of all this, I go back and I create these dishes because of lots of different things, reasons, and so on. So I turn around and I put one of the dishes in the window. I turn around, get the other dish turned back, and one of them is gone. So I haven't behaved this way in decades, but I launched. You know, really foul language, threatening to kill the person that took it, everything else. So I come running around the line, out of my mind, and I stop.
Greg's laughing because this is like a typical day working with me.
I stop, and all 10 people at the chef table are standing up with their phones, going, Hell's Kitchen in Oklahoma City. We got it all on tape. And they're laughing at me, and they're going to post it. They're this and that.
No.
And I was like, oh my God. But I still had to go take care of the other thing. So I come back, they sit down, they couldn't stop talking about it, and they still bring it up to this day.
Wow.
So they'll come into the restaurant.
Did they post it?
Remember? Yeah, I guess it's on YouTube somewhere and a couple other things. But it was, so that's my little 10-year-ago show.
Wow. Yeah, and we learn and we grow. So I hear there's some changes coming for original Rococo.
There is.
Yeah.
So, you know, very exciting and also emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, I met my bride at the original. My two young boys grew up there.
You're around the corner from my house. Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of great friends in the neighborhood. So, but, you know, we've been there 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen a lot of change throughout the metro.
Yeah.
Both on our little corner and, you know, city and beyond wise. And it's time. You know, there's this opportunity, and we're calling it Rococo 2020.
Oh, wow.
So we're moving to Western, right next to Sushi Nico.
Okay. That's in the Crown Heights area up there. Okay, yeah. Great. That's a great area.
And it'll be a new Rococo for 2020, you know, new color schemes, elevated bar program, a new menu.
Wow.
We'll have Rococo favorites, as I say. You know, everyone's like, oh, my God, you're not going to get rid of the crab cake or the love salad. Or, of course not. But new things, you know, and bringing us into a new age.
That's awesome.
And we still got a lot of magic to happen, but there's a lot of brilliant, wonderful people involved in supporting us. And it's our sincere hopes and mission and goal to keep the Penn location in our family. And that's going to house our catering company.
Oh, great.
And be available for private parties. Oh, so it awesome. Could be chef pop-ups, wine dinners, jazz nights. There's a lot of synergy around that and speaking to the likes of nonprofits, different business groups. There is a shortage of, you know, a smaller quality venue.
Yeah.
And to have Rococo Penn all yourself.
That's pretty nice.
It's a cool
I'm
vibe.
I'm in love with that fireplace.
Yeah. Yep. We'll have one on Western.
Oh, good. Because that's like the best place in Oklahoma City for me. As far just my opinion, it's the best place in Oklahoma City to sit and have a drink.
Well,
especially on a cold night like this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we've heard a lot of that over the last few months because of the move. Mm-hmm. And our plan for Rococo Western will be that there'll actually be functional dining space around the fireplace.
Oh, great.
As well.
Yeah, so, that'll be nice.
Big fish tank, beautiful bar, garden patio. We're going to have right now what we're calling the chef's room. And we're going to put some real nice French doors that'll go out into the garden. But it may be where that's a chef table open to the public one or two nights a week.
Okay.
Where you can book, and I've just planned this menu. You come join us. You may sit with your friends, strangers, you know, and so on. There's a lot of things that we got on the stove simmering.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And so what's the timeline?
We're hoping May.
Okay.
Things are, you know, some folks would love
for
us.
Summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just a lot that's got to happen. And we're pushing. We're doing our due diligence.
Good.
Can I ask, because I've been through a couple of menu refreshes with Rococo.
Oh, yeah.
I've always really wondered, how do you change? How do you take something that you look at and it's a moment in time, you know? This menu and every menu changes a little bit as time passes, but to take something that is so many people have their favorites and then to have to really kill your darlings in some cases and say, you know, obviously, yes, the Rococo crab cake, the love salad, those are things that are immutable laws of time and space. But how do you innovate in a space where you have so many customers that are demanding the oldies? How do you bring out a new album when everybody wants to hear the classics?
Great question. Very insightful. It's hard. Jason and I were looking at things last night. Jason, my chef, managing partner at North Park, been with me almost 25 years. And we were agonizing over it last night. You know, in years past, every time we tried to make the menu smaller, it got bigger. And, you know, it's so hard because there are so many great things that we do and people appreciate and know us for, and they come for that. You know, we do it usually through the guest. You know, we feature, we create. Mm. For me, a lot of our flavor and style will still be there, but it'll be more defined. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of what we do and the menu structured to be a la carte and this or that, there'll be more composed dishes. And we've always been seafood forward, but now we'll be even more so. And oh, wow. This new environment will give us the opportunity to put that forward from the get-go. So we're, you know, there's so many people in the city that, you know, if they're going to eat raw clams and oysters, they come to Rococo. Sure. They know we know what to get. We know how to handle it, store it, serve it. You know, I hope to have a little seafood display at the new place. Oh, you know, man. I'm not going to call it an oyster bar or anything like that. No. But to be able to, excuse me, put that forward, you know, some of the things we were marking off the menu, it was hard.
Yeah.
And so much of the Rococo menu is, you know, based on stories and history, and there's so many dishes that are named after guests and things that were created within the restaurant. It's a challenge. It truly is.
I would imagine, and but you guys being a scratch kitchen, mm-hmm. If the components are there for older dishes, you know, it might not be like a, you know, it might be a special case. Hey, the place is a little slow. Is there any way I could get, you know, X or Y off the old menu? Then maybe. But I also feel like, and this is something I've always felt like with Rococo's dishes, it's that over time, you guys really are honing and getting sharper on things. And so I'm super excited to see what comes next, specifically because I don't think that anybody who's been to Rococo in the past is going to be disappointed with what they find now. It might be some similar flavors in a new delivery method. You know what I mean? I've been going to Rococo for years now. I remember one time you made me a crab cake stuffed lobster tail. And Nate, you have no idea. It was so good. It was just, and I sat there and I ate it. It was at lunch. It was the most decadent I've ever felt.
So you did eat it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure. Okay.
It couldn't have been more decadent if I was wearing a silk robe with my feet soaking. Ooh. Like, I'm so sorry to put that image in your brain, and yet I now know what I want for my next birthday. It's a crab cake stuffed lobster tail and a silk robe.
You got until August.
You got until August.
Okay.
Rococo was the place that I learned to love scallops. I had had scallops in different dishes and different cuisines over time, but the first time I had a scallop that I was sitting at the bar at Rococo Pen, and I just would set the edge of my fork against one of these seared scallops and just watch it melt through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was and I feel like you have done more to advance the cause of seafood in Oklahoma than maybe anybody. Agreed. I mean, you know,
it's you and a very small group of people.
Yeah.
Like you, White River Fish Market in Tulsa, those folks.
Yes.
The Drake.
The Drake.
What am I missing? I mean, we're not talking like catfish. Like,
No. Like I mean, not that there's seafoods, anything wrong like with catfish.
Seafood from the sea.
But you know, you got, actual un fruit de mer, you know, the fruits of the sea. There's some good local fish markets mm-hmm. as well. But yeah, you guys, it really is. I feel like I learned to eat seafood from dining at Rococo, partially because I felt so comfortable. I knew that if I was with you eating that food, that you weren't going to send out anything that was too old, anything that wasn't, you know, in its prime, and that you know your flavors and you know your preparation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had plenty of scallops in my time now, and I can honestly say, you know, there's no you come to sort of brace yourself, like, am I going to hit a little bit of grit here? What's going to – never a problem with you guys, you know. It was and I really do. I'm so excited to see what comes next, because I think that there's another generation of Oklahoma foodies that are coming up right mm-hmm. now that are still learning this stuff. I mean, your history with seafood, you were at Legal Seafood, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jason tutelaged under me there. You know, at one point, God, I think I oversaw 14 Legal Seafoods from Boston to Florida.
Wow.
And opened 12 of them for him. You know, and from my corporate life, I'm still the most proud of my time at Legals. I mentioned history earlier. You know, there's such a sense of that in what we do. You know, I finally got to bring my boys up to Connecticut last August, and they got to see the beaches I grew up in. We got to rake some clams. We got to, you know, hang out and eat lobster rolls and fried belly clams. But that's what we bring. That's mm-hmm. what we do. You know, we have the lobster roll. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a place I won't mention that opened, and people were lining up to get this lobster roll, and I'm like, well, I got this real lobster roll literally down the street, and I think it was actually less money.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the? Hello, everybody. Right. You know, yeah. Come see me. So with, you know, with this location too, meaning the new one on Western, that should garnish us at the very least a little more exposure.
Mind share. Yeah. I really feel
that. Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, mind share. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, folks, come check it out. Yeah. I mean, from a quality standpoint, you know, of course, flavor and freshness, but come see us. You're going to be surprised if you have it.
You guys do something so well that I have never seen really anybody do, not just in Oklahoma, because we could talk literally all day long about seafood in a landlocked state and the challenges and the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And the doubt that comes with that. And you guys, I was telling someone the other day, I actually ate at Original Rococo in the last week, and I said to the person I was dining with, I was like, I've literally never had a single bad bite in this restaurant in 16 years.
God bless.
Not That's one awesome. Bite has ever been like, you know what? They're having an off day.
Yeah.
Never been there on an off day. Wonderful. Just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Been eating there since it opened. Loved it. But you guys do something that is so interesting to me. I lived in Italy for a little bit, in the Venice area. And there, you know, we think of Italian food as, in America, we think of it as noodles, tomato sauce, meat, usually ground beef, mm-hmm. right? Like pork maybe, but really, like, that's kind of those, it's sort of that Taco Bell three ingredients.
It's Midwestern, but, yeah. Red sauce Italian is kind of where a lot of us land.
But the Italian food is so seafood forward.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like so seafood focused, especially in that part. And I never encountered that in America, much less in Oklahoma. So I find that so interesting. Was that kind of intentional, or was this just sort of this marriage of, because I know people do know you also for great Italian.
Well, and you know, that's how I grew up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the second restaurant I ever worked at as a kid was owned by the mob. And it was in New London, Connecticut, some gangsters from the old country. First time I worked for them, I was the only guy in the kitchen that spoke English.
Wow.
Outside of the owner. And these were all a bunch of heavy-duty guys. And, you know, they made...
So you also know how to curse in Italian.
There's a couple of things.
Okay, this is fun. Okay.
But, you know, that comes back from the heritage thing. Yeah. It's like when we started, we didn't want to be an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually fought it all those years ago. But then I was like, hey, call me whatever you want. Just come see me.
Right, yeah.
You know, so we kind of just embraced it.
Yeah. Fully. I had a bolognese sauce the two visits ago mm-hmm. that was on special that night. It's one of the best things I've ever had in my life. It was so good.
I made that batch, too.
It was so good.
Was it with the fresh pappardelle?
Yes.
Okay. Oh. So, you know, that's all part of what we do. I mean, you know, but some of our seafood dishes that are enhanced pasta mm-hmm. dishes, yeah. a lot of Italian flavor and flair
yeah.
are just fantastic. You know, yeah. we do a linguine and white clam mm-hmm. that is, you know, it's like the old country, mm-hmm. you know, and I hear about restaurants that are doing it with cream and this and that. I'm like, why? Mm. Why are you doing that?
Right.
You know, so.
Our Italian food is so much heavier. American Italian food,
it
I feel
can
like,
be.
Like, and a lot of, you know, a lot of times, like, I don't do a lot of Italian because it's very heavy, and you get like two of your entire head worth of a portion, and so,
yeah, some of our, yeah. frankly, some of our dishes yeah. are just too big,
yeah.
and you know, and then when right. you think
but
about,
but that's what I was going to say is I've never felt that way about yours, though.
Well, it depends, okay. you know, like my big tasty balls, okay, which are known, those that have had them are uh-huh. just. Beside themselves, but I mean they're 2 6-ounce meatballs.
Yeah,
I mean it's a lot.
It's good stuff.
But they're yeah. man, are they delicious?
Oh yeah, they are.
I have told so many people. I'm like, you just watch their social media. If you see that they're doing spaghetti and meatballs, right. it sounds like such a weird cliche thing to be like, I'm going to go to the Italian restaurant and have spaghetti and meatballs. Is this the 40s? Like, I feel like
but it's
this
so
is
so good though.
It's, oh, yeah. but it's ridiculous. It's not whatever you have experienced with spaghetti and meatballs. Mm-hmm. I promise you, it is not going to come close to what I have had because it, I mean, it again, it's just you set your fork oh, yeah. against those meatballs
right
and
through.
You just sort of scrape and just mm-hmm. watch them fall yeah. apart.
Delicious.
It's a magic trick waiting yeah. to get into your mouth. Yeah. It's so good.
Agree. Well, and also, and you kind of mentioned this too, and I think Angela in our story even said of Rococo North Park that the Godfather could have been shot in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
it has that sort of feel to it. But here's what I love too about both places is I've never had a bad bite, but I've also never walked out of there going like, I need to move some money out of savings because of what I just paid on this tab.
Yeah.
Right? Like sometimes you're like, worth it, 100% worth it. Couldn't really super afford it, but it's going to be okay. Never had that. I've never had wow. sticker shock at Rococo.
That's huge.
Which
I
is
mean,
great.
Well, I ran in, here's a good one for you. So I had a medical deal I had to do the day of the snowstorm. And I get up there and the parking lot's empty, of course. And I'm just laughing. So I go in, I sit down, the guy asks my name and he goes, looks around from the terminal and he goes, I recognize that voice. Are you Mr. Rococo? And I went, that's hysterical. And he was like, yeah, that voice. I've heard it on TV and seen you on TV and stuff. Very funny. But the reason I bring it up is he goes, I've been meaning to go in there. You know, but isn't it pretty expensive? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, man.
Not too bad.
You can get a great salad and a pasta dish for yeah. 20, 24 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Two Christmases ago, I took all these guys out there for holiday, for Christmas
okay.
lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a big deal. I was like, I got this. No big
yeah.
deal. Yeah.
And
I'm a state employee.
Now, you can. I mean, the option's there
oh,
to drop
if you want
to
blow
oh, no,
it out.
Oh, no. Yeah. If
you
really want to go nuts,
out.
You can.
Yeah, you
and
can.
It's not like, I mean, it's not like, you know, like it's not $7.99 drive-through. Like, you know, you're going to spend a little bit of money, but it's not shocking.
It
like, that's the thing.
All.
It's not shocking, and that's great.
It's
yeah.
sad. Not sad. Well, you know, it's unfortunate
yeah.
that some folks have said, yeah, man, you're pretty expensive. And it's like, well, no, I'm not.
Right.
You know, I'm not.
Right.
And I yeah. use lunch as a great example. We do a fantastic
yeah.
burger, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you do.
Too big. But a great prime grind, beautiful bun, fries, blah, 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 all of that. And it's like $8, $9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you can go to one of these, you know, greasy bag places and it's going to be $12 to $14.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we're fine.
Yeah. yeah.
In fact, we're probably more affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that's when you talk about the price.
That's awesome. I do have to ask, since we're kind of running a little bit low on time, I do have to ask about the pants.
Okay.
Because you do, Greg said this at the top of the show, you do have the best pants.
Thank you.
In the industry. And what are they today?
Flying pigs.
Well, today, I thought it'd be appropriate when
they
pigs
are
fly.
Pigs
so.
Flying, and they're wearing...
With wearing chef's hats.
Yeah, wearing
with chef's
hats. So he's literally wearing pants, black pants, that have flying pigs wearing chef's hats on them.
Yes.
And I will say, like, that's pretty par for the course, subject matter-wise, for your pants.
Chili pepper pants I've
yeah.
seen plenty of. What else
You'll
do
see
you
a
have?
Photo
oh
of some
God,
of Bruce's
got,
cool pants in our March-April.
I got
plug.
40 pairs. because I got some for the holidays, the seasons. I have two that have Bruce-isms that were given to me as gifts.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, don't be that individual, you know, this, that. So they're Bruce-isms all over the pants. And do you have time for the story behind it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So back when I met my bride, Amber, right after we opened Penn, my very first birthday with her, of course, I'm working, and all I ever wore was black. And she was like, you need some. And I'm like, this is what I wear. So, and she's like this tall. And so I look up, and there's all these balloons being walked into the restaurant. It's right in the middle of dinner, and I just put my head down. And they got all these little bags, and it's a bunch of friends and her and this and that. Well, they all had different chef pants in them. So that became the deal, and I've just done it ever since.
I love it.
I mean, you know, God bless Chef Bennett, who passed away. He's in the restaurant one day, and he goes, dude, those went out with the 80s. And I said, well, bear with me. Here's the story. And he's like, ah, well, blank, blank. You keep wearing them then, you know. And so I do. And any time I flirt with not, do I get challenged. I'll by bet, family, yeah. friends, and guests. Like, bet, you're not.
Yeah.
Wear your pants.
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a big meeting with some guys. He walked in. He goes, where are your pants? I mean, it's the first thing out of his mouth. And I'm like, because I was wearing civilian clothes. And he's like, in fact, I don't think I've ever seen you in civilian clothes. You know, so.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so there's the chef pants.
I love that. Yeah. It's just this one additional detail about Rococo that's just so enjoyable.
Well, we want people laughing and smiling and enjoying themselves. Yeah. You know, you should be enriched with your dining, but also with your friendships and with your soul and what you're doing.
That's the thing. You know, at some point, we were talking about this. My husband and I were talking about this the other day because we've been together for 15 years in April.
Oh, right on.
And so we're kind of just reviewing the brain scrapbook of us. And we were talking about, you know, like we just have some places. Like, you know, the places that you find yourself drawn back to again and again, you know, in your life. And that becomes sort of a nexus for you. And Rococo is definitely one of those for us.
That warms my heart.
We have so many good memories inside your restaurant.
Thank you.
You know, and we look forward to making a lot more of them, but it's just one of those places. It just invites that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's welcoming. It's unpretentious. It's so high quality.
Thank you.
It's just hard not to want to come back. It's
a little verklempt.
The first thing out of my mouth a lot of times, because people ask us all the time, what's your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite restaurant? To which I always say, what do you want?
Exactly.
Right? Because you can't, like, it's like asking someone what's your favorite color. Like, yeah, what are you doing with the color? Like, if you're talking about a car, I'm not going to say orange, right? Like, but no offense to anyone who drives an orange car. But Rococo is one of those I don't have to think about. Like, oh, go to Rococo.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just on a very short list of places. Like, I don't care what you like. You're going to like it there.
Well,
you know, like if you're like, I don't know, it sounds good. Where should we go? Rococo, let's just go Rococo.
And I'll say,
it's easy. It's an easy call.
One other thing, and this goes to Bruce's, like, radical hospitality mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because you're a scratch kitchen, through the years, through every different fad or, you know, new, like, it's like I'm gluten sensitive, I'm vegan, I'm a pescatarian, I'm a vegetarian. Every single time, and I never feel like you're pandering to a group of people. I always feel like it's a very accepting, open arms way of just being like, we got you.
You know? We love you.
If you are looking for food that you can eat, that is not going to upset you morally or physically or spiritually or for whatever reason that you do or don't eat something, like Rococo, like every single time it's just like, oh, you can't have gluten. Okay. Absolutely, they have, like, gluten-free stuff at Rococo. You're not eating. You're gone. It's like
we have a couple of coworkers who are going meatless slowly, and we know we can go there with them.
Absolutely, Well, and then to have that sort of selection and customer focus, and at the same time have a space where, I think. It's almost like you're a huge Harry Potter fan. We read all the books together. I remember, but there's there is something called the Room of Requirement in Harry Potter while they're at Hogwarts, and you go in, and whatever it is you need that room to be is what is in that room. Mm-hmm. So if you're training to take on Voldemort, there's a whole bunch of dummies for you to blast with your wands. Rococo is a restaurant of requirement in that if you are looking for someplace for a special event, for a private, intimate dinner with someone, you can have it there. If you were looking for someplace to have a business meeting, you can have it there. If you were looking for someplace to entertain your family and friends, to have a raucous night out drinking, mm-hmm. like that, I guess that's it for me with Rococo, is I always just think it's like, man, it's not just whatever you want it to be, it's whatever you need it to be. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've always felt about it. And thank you so much for joining us. We really love having you on here.
I'm thrilled you guys have made my day.
Oh, good. Well, you've made many of ours.
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to what's next for you and joining you on Western. As soon as you know dates, let us know, and we'll make sure that we let all the people who are listening to this and that read our stuff know about that as well.
Cool.
Readers, pick up our March-April issue when it comes out in a few weeks, because there's a great story about chef's tables all over the state. Mm-hmm. Bruce's is one of them. If you're in the Tulsa area, there's a couple great ones up there, too.
The Tavern, Amelia's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All of which are great. And what's cool about that story is that every one of them does it in a different way.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, everybody's got kind of the... And it's our cover story, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful piece of pie that's going to be on our cover. But every one of these is kind of a different way of experiencing this sort of connection with chefs, with food. Because that's what, this is a thing that's gone from being a trend to being a fact, as far as I can tell, which is people want to know about their food.
Sure.
They want to know, where did you get this produce from? Where did you get this meat from? Where is this coming from? What am I putting inside my body? What am I feeding my kids? They want to know.
Sure.
And this is another way that people have of being able to be there. And also, it's just, as someone, like, I can cook. Like, I grew up, like, cooking in my kitchen. I could never do what you do. You know, like I know how to play the piano. I could never sit on a stage and play songs that I'd written. I don't have that ability. It's the same kind of thing. Like, it's just awe-inspiring to watch chefs work to me. Like, even when it's all going horribly wrong, I'm like fascinated. Like, you should serve popcorn at your chef's. No, don't really do that. But like,
oh, I don't know.
But anyway, I just think it's cool that all these restaurants
popcorn shrimp.
Maybe are just offering these ways of being in on that experience and letting us, just as, you know, mere mortals.
Sharing the
civilians.
Love.
Yeah,
sharing the love.
And the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's just transparency. I just love it. Yeah.
All right.
Thank
well,
you, Bruce.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And let's get into the events.
There's some cool stuff happening around the state.
All right. Wav, Twuwav.
Twuwav!
Will follow you forever. Or at least that's what the
Lowage.
Guy... that's what Peter Cook in The Princess Bride said.
Best
if you
ever.
Are feeling the love, then come enjoy the Valentine's celebration at the Chickasaw Cultural Center in Sulphur.
I love that place.
I love it too. February 10th through 15th, so it's a week-long celebration featuring rom-coms, including the one with Inigo Montoya. cookie decorating, Chickasaw crafting, among a lot of other fun events. It's also free. Visit ChickasawCulturalCenter.com for more info. But this is a great reason to get out Sulphur.
Oh, that's going to be – yeah, I love that place.
Come!
There's something exciting coming to Tulsa's Brady Theater. Beam down to a live screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. What a great, it's just such a fun movie. With author, singer, and sci-fi legend, the man himself, Captain Kirk, William Shatner,
that's right.
will be there. Not only, okay, it's not Picard, it's not Patrick Stewart, but it's William Shatner, and that's pretty cool. Not only can you find out firsthand if his line readings are actually that spaced out, they are. You can also take part in a Q&A with the man himself and learn behind-the-scenes facts about the best Star Trek film ever made. I have a lot of questions for William Shatner about George Takei.
Okay.
So I think that I might actually go to that. February 13th, tickets are $36.50 to $71.50. Visit BradyTheater.com to get your tickets and find out all kind of more info about that.
That's right. On February 13th at Oklahoma City's Jones Assembly, you can find Grace Potter, who is debuting
so
her. I know. She's debuting her first solo album since The Nocturnals. It's called Daylight. It is, if you love pop, if you love rock, if you love originality, you've got to love Grace Potter. Yes. If you haven't heard her, listen, and you will be a fan immediately. Tickets are $33 to $548.
Something for everyone.
Really, there is. Also, the Jones Assembly is just a really great place to see a show. Hit up eventbrite.com, search for Grace Potter, and you can get your tickets there.
Terrific. We are not make-believing this up. Our favorite adolescent cartoon tiger is, in fact, coming to Midwest City. The Rose State College Hudaberg Chevrolet Center presents two performances of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood Live, Neighbor Day, based on the hit PBS show of the same name, which, of course, came from the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera, for the childless among you who do not know that. Daniel Tiger, O the Owl, Miss Elena, and the whole family will take the audience on a musical journey to the neighborhood of make-believe. Aww. To learn about the meaning of friendship, helping, and other things you can't trust real tigers to teach your kids about. Okay, you wrote that, and I'm going to take exception because I will submit into evidence Hobbs.
Real tigers.
Was a real tiger.
He was a real stuffed tiger.
He was a real tiger. February 13th is Daniel Tiger, not anything else. February 13th, tickets are $23 to $73, and you can visit okcciviccenter.com, which I'm going to say that again because it's a little confusing. The show is at Rose State.
Yes.
Visit okcciviccenter.com for tickets. There's a whole thing there. Don't worry about it. Yep. That's where you go to get the tickets. So, yeah.
And there are going to be two performances. Yes. So there's the one early, one late, not very late.
Perfect.
For anybody who needs to get out there.
Child hours.
That's exactly right.
Okay, great.
The Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond has a history of bringing unforgettable shows that fill hearts with music and art. With the arrival of Ballet Folklorico Nacional, a ballet troupe specializing in the authentic regional dances of Mexico, it's safe to say that the streak continues. Embrace the multinational dance forms, get swept away by the vibrant costumes, and let the musical traditions of Mexico take your breath away. Also, February 13th, a nice early Valentine's Day gift. Tickets are $31 to $71. Visit armstrongauditorium.org. To get your tickets.
That place is beautiful, too.
It is.
If you haven't been, it's one of the most gorgeous physical spaces in the state. Next Friday, not the movie, Norman is a college town, as you well know, and that means Friday nights are pretty packed. So you'll have to forgive the city for leaving the first Friday events to the newbies and planting their flag 1 week over with monthly second Friday Norman Art Walk. Way to stake out that second Friday, Norman. Yeah. Whether you're looking for something both extremely cheap and romantic to do for Valentine's Day, or you just want to pretend you know anything about art, which you do, you'll find it in the Walker Arts District. Gather to appreciate the hard work done by local artists while also enjoying art events, concerts, and a ton of restaurants and bars in the area. It really is a great area for hanging out and eating in Norman. February 14th, admission is free, and that is secondfridaynorman.com.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss an episode. If you would, please, I know it seems so weird, but rating and reviewing the podcast does a lot to help us reach new people. Also very helpful would be if you would just tell people, hey, you should, you know how your friend on Facebook is always like, what podcast should I listen to? And I'm sorry for doing a really accurate impression of their voice. But you can just pop on there and be like, hey, you know, the Oklahoma Today podcast is really good. Wow. That's also a great impression of your
DMs
voice.
All, yeah, slide all into their DMs. Suave sounding. Wow.
Hey, baby. Oklahoma Today has a podcast. You're going to want to listen.
If you have any questions or comments, you can send those to oktpod@travelok.com.
As long as they're nice.
Yes. Visit oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of the magazine. Subscribe now to make sure that you get the upcoming food issue, which we just talked about. You're gonna want it. So thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you again next week.